Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. In the last podcast I talked about cognitive load, and I want to build further on that topic today as we look how to create simpler, more compelling websites. And I want to start with something I hope you already know, which is that when it comes to multitasking, we're useless. Yet, we rarely give anything our full attention, and the web is no exception. This creates a problem. We're almost certainly surrounded by distractions when we're using the web, from a busy work environment to children demanding our attention at home. Also, increasingly, we're accessing sites while we're out and about, walking down the street or sitting on a bus, or a snatched moment while we're waiting for our Starbucks order. As I covered in my last podcast, all of these distractions add to our cognitive load, which in turn undermines our ability to use a website. And that means we need to keep our sites as simple as possible. But how do we do that? How do we simplify to create a compelling, simple website? How do we focus users on what we want them to do? The most obvious starting point, of course, is to reduce distractions. If you've listened to my podcast on cognitive load, you'll know how quickly distractions can reduce the chance of somebody spotting something like our call to action. Every element on our site has the potential of distracting users from what matters. Of course, some page elements are crucial for convincing users to complete a call to action. Otherwise, most sites would contain nothing more than a colossal buy now button. But equally, many websites are full of page elements that don't really significantly help move the user towards their ultimate goal. To fix this problem, organizations need to adopt a new mindset towards their website and implement a rigorous process to reduce clutter. For a long time, organizations have had the wrong attitude towards their website. Because of the cost of publishing a page online is zero, outside of labor costs, companies have adopted a somewhat cavalier attitude to online content, posting large amounts of copy on the premise that someone might find it useful. The problem is that the more content we publish online, the more content users have to process, and the higher the likelihood they'll miss what actually matters. And that's why our mindsets need to change. If we want to improve conversion, we need to make every UI element and every piece of content justify its inclusion. Instead of our mantra being, well, why not publish this, it now needs to become, well, why publish this? To implement this new attitude, it's become necessary to adopt a three-stage review process for every element that we publish online. And that involves answering three questions in order. Can I remove this? Can I hide it? Or can I shrink it? Let's begin with, can I remove this? For each element on our website, we need to ask, what would happen if we removed this? If the consequences of doing so are relatively low, then it makes sense to remove the item from our site. If the answer is we don't know, then we should remove it anyway and monitor what happens. That kind of monitoring should be a critical part of running any website anyway, and is something I cover in a blog post I wrote a while back on conversion rate optimization. If removing a particular screen element will have a damaging impact on the business, yet the feature isn't directly related to the call to action, you might want to ask a second question, which is, can I hide this? Some of the content on our website is aimed at secondary audiences or exists because of some legal requirement. Material of this nature has to be online, but it's not particularly helpful when you're trying to create a simple website. One way of preventing this content from distracting users is to hide it in some way. That might mean placing it lower in the site's information architecture or hiding it under a tab or concertina. Whatever the solution, the aim is to prevent it from increasing the user's cognitive load. But even hiding some content can prove damaging. Content that informs the decision-making process but is a secondary consideration. In these cases, we should be asking a third question. How can we shrink it? If we can't remove or hide content, we can at least visually shrink it in comparison to more important content. That makes it clear to the user that this content is secondary and creates an impression of simplicity because they don't have to think about what content matters. Visually shrinking content doesn't necessarily equate to making it smaller, although that does indeed work. Choices of colour and position on the page can also help de-emphasise some content, as I explore in a post I wrote ages ago now on designing calls to action. Shrinking content in this way is effectively a method of creating a visual hierarchy on a page, and that's a useful technique when creating simple websites. Creating an obvious visual hierarchy on a web page helps the user to see at a glance which screen elements are essential and which are not, and that reduces cognitive load and simplifies the experience. Creating this kind of visual hierarchy is really second nature to most designers. They almost don't think about doing it. But the need to structure and this kind of hierarchy is not just limited to user interface elements. We also need to do it in our messaging. It can be challenging to provide a user with all the information they need about a product or service without overwhelming them. We often have far more to say than the typical user is willing to read, and the result is really long pages of copy with no way for the user to quickly pass that information. By establishing a hierarchy in our messaging, we help the user to identify the most important things they need to know while still providing them with access to secondary content. Typically, this is done by breaking copy into headings, subheadings, lists, pull-out quotes, that kind of thing. That allows users to quickly glance at a page of text and understand the key messages by just reading the titles and pull-out quotes. If one of those messages grabs their attention, they can drill into more detail by reading the content that sits alongside it. We can also further help the user spot critical messages by ensuring that we emphasize them early on the page, and indeed on the site as a whole. Too much crucial information is often buried too deeply in a website and not addressed at the beginning of the copy. Regarding what the hierarchy of messaging should be, the emphasis should always be on answering what users want to know rather than what we want to say. There may be unique selling points that help sales, but you first need to address any questions the user has if you want them to be receptive to hearing about those unique selling points. By structuring messaging, you will create an impression of ease and simplicity that will improve the chances of users spotting what matters. The problem is that we're not always clear in our mind what does matter. And that's where a hierarchy in our calls to action also become essential. When working on a website on a long-term basis, it's often easy to lose perspective as we concentrate so hard on one challenge that we overlook the bigger picture. And that can negatively impact the simplicity of a site as we end up sending users mixed messages about what we want them to do. For example, it's not unusual to encounter a website that has so many competing calls to action that the experience is overwhelming. The site's pushing users to buy a product while at the same time encouraging them to sign up to a newsletter or share on social media. And that undermines the effectiveness of any individual call to action and also the sense of ease and simplicity. The solution to this problem is for organizations to be very clear about what they want users to do and when. There needs to be a clear hierarchy and calls to action so that the site can be designed to guide rather than confuse users. For example, a large lightbox overlay asking users to sign up for a newsletter gives the impression that this is the most important thing that the user can do, more important than purchasing the product or service. Knowing what calls to action are relevant when requires a strong understanding of the customer journey, and that's another subject that I've written about a lot in the past. But for now, all you need to take away is that you need to communicate what you want users to do at the right time in order to create a sense of simplicity and reduce cognitive load. But we should also consider our site's responsiveness if we want it to feel simple. Have you ever clicked on a link or a button online and wondered whether it worked? Nothing seemed to happen and you're left thinking that you did something wrong. Or have you endured a slow loading site where you've had to wait while each page refreshes? Neither of these scenarios fill that you with a sense of ease or simplicity. Responsiveness has a significant impact on perceived simplicity and the creation of simple websites. It's also one of the reasons why users routinely abandon slow sites. In fact, according to Bing, a 2-second delay in load time will on average cause a 4.3% loss in revenue per customer, a 3.75% reduction in clicks, and a 1.8% drop off in queries. Other research suggests that nearly half of users expect a site to load within 2 seconds or less, and they're likely to abandon a site that hasn't loaded within 3 seconds. 79% of users shopping online won't return to a site and buy again if they experience issues with performance. In fact, 44% of them will go on to share that bad experience with friends. In short, performance, or at least the sense of speed, matters enormously to users. Slow sites feel hard to use, and that increases cognitive load, encouraging them to abandon the site. Despite these figures and even the fact that Google penalises poorly performing websites, companies routinely underinvest in performance. If you want to create findable, simple sites, you need to prioritise performance, and that means reducing image size, limiting the number of web fonts, optimising your CSS and JavaScript, and investing in a content delivery network, and a whole load of other technical techniques that I won't get into here. Admittedly, you might feel that you spend a lot of money for not a lot of difference, nothing you can see at least, but users will feel the difference, and that gives the impression that you've created a simple website. Perception matters. Another way to create a feeling of simplicity is to ensure that you conform with expectations as well. As I've said in my podcast about cognitive load, if a user has come to expect a specific user interface pattern because they've seen it across multiple sites, you should think carefully before deviating from that pattern. These expectations are referred to by Joe Leach as design axioms. They include expectations such as the way site search will work, or the icon that's always associated with a shopping cart, or the position of navigation, or the location of login. It's not enough to tell yourself that people know and understand that your site is different. That's because we have a weakness when it comes to remembering facts. They might know that your site is different, but they won't necessarily remember how. To deal with this shortcoming in our capabilities, we use mnemonics. In other words, we break down the fact that we're trying to recall into a process or system. For example, here in the UK, we use a mnemonic to remember the points of a compass. Never eat shredded wheat. North, east, south, west. We find it easier to remember the saying than we do the fact. Psychologists call this procedural knowledge, and we use it all the time on a website. Take, for example, searching on a website. We don't remember the location of every search box on every site we ever visit. Instead, we have a procedure that normally provides results. We go to the top right-hand corner of the page, we look for an input field, we enter our search query, and we press the button next to the field. If the site doesn't conform to this procedure because the search box isn't in the top right or there is no search button, then the user faces more cognitive load as they're forced to search for the right approach. That's why we should avoid breaking with normal conventions if we wish to create simple sites. However, there is one more way we can simplify the experience, and that's that we can group related content together. It's a simple thing, but one that is incredibly effective and often ignored. Grouping related content in your user interface makes it significantly easier for people to process, and thus creates a sense of simplicity. Navigation is an excellent example of the need for this. I often come across sites where the navigation is peppered across the screen. Horizontal navigation, side sub-navigation, links in the body, and footer at the bottom. Users are forced to pick their way through the page, attempting to find the content that is relevant to them. We also routinely have vast numbers of options in navigation instead of grouping them into more manageable chunks. E-commerce sites are particularly bad in this regard. Often these sites haven't categorized their products at all, or they've created so many categories that scanning through the list requires considerable concentration. It makes more sense to take these long lists and break them down into subcategories of related content. That's called chunking and is a technique for helping people remember the options available to them. You only need to look at your credit card to see this in action. Remembering that 16-digit card number is nearly impossible, but by breaking it down into four chunks of four as it's displayed on the card, it becomes much easier to process. Of course, chunking information into groups only works if those groups make some sense to the user. They need to be able to match our mental model, which is a topic I hope to cover in a future podcast. But for now, the key is to remember that simplicity will reduce cognitive load and encourage users to focus on our primary calls to action.